The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Do you know the number one thing that surprises engaged couples? Take a guess. The sheer amount of decisions they have to make while planning a wedding. Indoors or outdoors? How many guests? Are kids invited? Controversial. Which cake flavor? Seriously, how do you even begin to figure out what's right for you? That's where Zola comes in. Zola has everything you need to make every wedding decision a piece of cake, from choosing your dream wedding venue and vendors to deciding how to best spend your budget. With tons of customizable wedding websites, save the dates and invites, every detail will feel like you. Zola will even help you choose the gifts, experiences, and cash funds you really want. The next thing you know, you've planned your whole wedding all in one place. From getting engaged to getting married, Zola has everything you need to plan your wedding in one place. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Bustin' Loose Baseball, hosted by Grant Paulson and Toby Altizer, gives you in-depth analytics and interviews on everything baseball in the nation's capital. Now, here's your host, Grant Paulson and Toby Altizer.
This is Bustin' Loose Baseball, episode 156. Grant Paulson and Toby Altizer with you as always. Producer Darris Dameron alongside. Toby, big trade for the Nationals in that they have their first baseman for the next 2 years, it looks like. Nathaniel Lowe, a 29-year-old who was actually born in Norfolk, Virginia, played his college ball at Mississippi State. Nathaniel Lowe coming to Washington straight up for Robert Garcia. Lowe, who's a terrific defensive first baseman, who had a career year with 27 home runs back in 2022, slugs around 400 to 450 most years. He is going to bring what is probably 15 to 20 home run power, somewhere in the mid-teens worth of home runs to the first base position. He'll also play strong defense. He also walks at a high rate. The Nats have their first baseman. They had to give up a lefty they really, really like in Robert Garcia. But to me, this is a no-brainer. He was a non-closer, and you've got a guy now in an offseason where clearly ownership's not really willing to spend that's going to anchor the first base position this year, maybe next year, 2 years of control left, and he's only going to cost you what is expected to be around $10.5 to $10.7 million this year in arbitration.
Yeah, I really like this move. It's one of those shrewd moves that I think Mike Rizzo excels at. And, you know, at some point you got to do some more of the top end moves, which is what put this team over the top in 2019 with the, you know, the Scherzer and those sorts of moves. Obviously, Corbin in 2019 signing. They're not doing those sorts of moves right now. But what Mike Rizzo does a heck of a job doing is winning on the margins. And, you know, if they ever pump money back into the thing, then, yeah, you can, you know, start adding some of those guys. But I like these sorts of moves because, you know, if you start having the prospects come up like you saw last year, they start getting better and they get more comfortable and you continue to just add on the margins. I think this is how you create a winning baseball team and how they're currently constructed, how they're working, where you give up a reliever with a career 4 ERA and someone that, like you said, they really liked him. And I think he had some elite stuff at times, but he's a reliever and you likely can replace him. I know, you know, a lefty reliever out of the pen with some of his stuff, maybe not as easy to replace as someone else, but still you can probably find someone. You look at someone last year, like Dylan Floro, they found off the trash heap for nothing. and they were able to move him. He was a solid reliever that, for them for half the season. They can likely find someone in the pen because they do now have a lot of problems in that bullpen. But you also shore up the first base position where, you know, they had issues last year at that position where that's a spot where you need someone to slug. And I don't know that Nathaniel Lowe is going to give you big time slug, but he's going to give you more consistency over there. You know, like you said, 15 to 20 home run power. You can count on that. He's just under an 800 OPS guy over his career. And he's going to give you a great glove over there. And it's just something that's a lot more consistency that you've had at that position really since what, Josh Bell, even I think going back to then. So it'll just be nice to have that position, which is so important, solidified. It'll give you another guy that you can plug in the middle of the order, someone with a proven track record, not just over a year or two, but over a couple of years where he's looked really, really good. He won a Silver Slugger in 2022. We talked about the glove, won the Gold Glove in 2023. So, you know, he's had World Series experience as well. I think this is just one of those shrewd moves where it's not anything sexy. It's not anything that's going to wow people overall. But these are the sorts of moves that I think Mike Rizzo is just exceptional at.
Yeah, at his best, we're talking about maybe 25 home runs and an 850 OPS, which was his Silver Slugger year, the career year I talked about back in 22. More likely, it's, you know, 18 to 20 home runs and probably a 265 average with a 775 to 785 OPS, something like that, which is just fine. I mean, it's a decent ball player in the grand scheme of things on the cheap, right? When you can trade a non-closing reliever and get an everyday player and a bat, and a guy, oh, by the way, who's going to play plus defense at a position where you were desperate, I think it's just an absolute no-brainer. If you're the Nats, you're going, it's a legitimate first baseman, really good defender, everyday player for a reliever, where do I sign up? Now, is this the off-season splash, the I told you so moment, the learners were going to spend, the Nats were going to go big this off-season? No, I mean, get out of here with that. That would be ridiculous takeaway. This is a savvy move by the baseball ops department to try to cut a corner here where, you know, it'd be better if you could have gone out and gotten Christian Walker, who signed with Houston. It'd be better if you could have gone out and gotten, you know, Pete Alonso, it's 40 homers a year, who's still available and obviously not someone that they have enough money or will spend enough money to go get. But on the cheap, so to speak, at $10 million, you get a major upgrade, a guy who's won a Gold Glove, who's going to play good defense. Couple of things I want to point out about him. He is tremendous at drawing walks, about 12.6% of the time last year, which is 97th percentile. He does not swing and miss very much, 72nd percentile whiff rate. He does not chase, 82nd percentile chase percentage. He's got great bat speed, 73rd percentile in that area. As far as his, you know, fielding run value, 80th percentile, batting run value, 84th percentile. Like, it's a legit profile at 29 years old for Nathaniel Lowe. He has a spray chart that would make you think he's a right-handed hitter or even maybe a switch hitter. Like, a lot of his base hits go the other way. He has no problem serving the ball into left field. As a left-handed bat, his power is mostly pull side, but he hit a total of 6 home runs the other way last year, 2 to dead center. So like 8 of his 16 were center field or left field. So that's just something notable, I would say. Last year, he didn't find the barrel all that much, 28th percentile. Hard hit percentage was below average by a hair. Didn't square a ton up. So those are things that I'm sure they'll try to tweak. I'm sure they will feel like, hey, we'll have a plan we could put together. You know, as an example, his launch angle sweet spot percentage the year before that was as high as the 74th percentile. But the things that are consistent year to year with him, he doesn't chase, he doesn't swing and miss, he draws a lot of walks, he's got exceptional range at first base. These are things that I think people should get ready for.
Well, and everything that you kind of laid out sounds a lot like the brand that the Nationals have created for their hitting the last couple of years, right? They're not going to hit for a lot of power because they're not spending money to get some of the power guys. So what they are going to do is they're going to put the ball in play. They're not going to strike out. They have a lot of guys that do chase. You know, you think about Luis Garcia's unique in that he swings all over the place, but he doesn't strike out. K-Bert Ruiz is the same way. He has at least a little bit better plate discipline, but he doesn't strike out. That's something that the Nationals have you know, even though their offense hasn't been great, they haven't been one of the teams that's one of the leaders in strikeouts the last couple of years. So he kind of fits with what they're going to do. You talk about being able to hit the ball the other way. If this team wants to score some runs, if it's not going to be able to hit home runs again, they're going to be hitting runs. There's going to be steals. It's going to be moving the runner, stuff like that. And you get a guy with the control with the bat like Nathaniel Lowe, he's going to be able to fit right into that, even if he's not going to hit you 25, 30 homers. You know, Christian Walker would be nice. We both wanted Christian Walker. And I think, you know, having that extra power would be the best. If you're not going to do that, this guy kind of fits the Nationals brand of putting the ball in play and playing some good defense, hopefully, and living that way versus bringing the power, which this team just hasn't had for quite some time now.
Yeah, it's a good point. Another couple of notes about him defensively. I mentioned his range. He is the number one first baseman in putouts in 21, 22, and 12, 23. He's also the double play leader, 21, 22, 23, assist leader, 23 and 24, largely because of that range factor. So I think that's a pretty big deal. I think it's going to help their young middle infielders, to your point. You know, they value that adds to a guy like Abrams, who's had, you know, some of the error issues and some of the things that he's done throwing the ball, which, you know, we've talked about and you've alluded to here. So overall, I just, you know, here's kind of where I was thinking middle of the day. I'm texting with people on Sunday afternoon going, well, who the hell are they going to get at first base? They're down to Todd France or, you know, maybe I was thinking Anthony Rizzo, you know, and yeah. Then they found a dance partner and texting with a couple people with the Nationals. Like, why would the Rangers trade low? I think it's a little bit of a cost cutting endeavor for them because remember, they made the trade for Berger, who the Nats really liked. I think Berger was on their radar. And so now maybe they play Berger at first base and it makes Lowe expendable. And so, you know, at that moment when they lose the possibility to get Berger a few weeks ago and the Rangers bring him in, I don't know if that's when they immediately started talking about the deal, but it certainly made him expendable and I'm sure made him interesting. Now, as far as Garcia, who they lose, you know, it's funny to say this because, again, you mentioned it, like career ERA, even though that's maybe not the best metric for relievers, is – you know, 4.03, pitched in 72 games last year. The Nationals love this guy. Like, they really, really are high on him. And I think some people in the building thought maybe he could be a closer, but, you know, would be a really valuable asset in the pen for years to come. He had great numbers this year. He struck out 11.3 per nine, walked just 2.4 per nine. A little bit more hittable than you'd like. He gave up 8.3 hits per nine. But in 59 innings, I think that 4.2 ERA was a little bit misleading. His fielding independent pitching was actually 2.38. So if you look at it, like, we're talking about a pretty nasty season that he had. I think every single time, though, Tobes, I got to trade a reliever, especially a non-closer, for a bat. It does create yet another hole in the bullpen where Hunter Harvey's in Kansas City and Kyle Finnegan is gone and they have a whole bullpen to build now and they got to get going here and spend a little money on that. But I still think that if you're telling me, you know, mid reliever, so to speak, in, you know, one inning lower leverage guy for 2 year first baseman, everyday player, I almost don't even need to know the details. And then you add in that it's Lowe, who I actually like the profile of, and it seems like a win for them.
Yeah, I mean, especially for a team that their pitching was kind of their strength last year. And, you know, whenever they were going, it was because of their starting pitching. Yes, you need the bullpen help, but they had absolutely nothing in the lineup. And when you were looking at what they were throwing up on MLB Network at the winter meetings of what the potential starting lineup is for them on opening day, you're like, you got James Wood and Dylan Cruz and Abrams and what? Like, you need bats more than anything. And they're, it doesn't seem like they're going to spend a lot of money to go get bats. So if it's coming at the expense of the bullpen where you can maybe find some guys, and I'm curious, Grant, if they're not looking, you know, we're going to talk about the Soroka signing here in just a second. I'm curious because they're talking about trying him as a starter. When you look at some of the guys that they had in the rotation this year, thinking that all of them return, you're kind of running out of spots. So is a Parker going to go to a pen? Is a DJ Hurs going to go to the pen? Is one of those sorts of guys going to end up in the bullpen? And so while we look at it and say, well, they don't have guys, Maybe one of those dudes is going to make a transition. Maybe they feel like they've got some guys down in the minor leagues that can come up and help them. Marquise Grissom was getting close to the bigs. Is he someone that's going to help them out, you know, as a minor leaguer? Do they feel like they have people in the system? They're going to have to sign some dudes regardless because they don't have a legit closer. They probably don't even have a legit setup man. Like, they're 7-8-9 right now, just doesn't exist. But I'm wondering if they think they have some guys in the building that they can either move from a starter to the pen, they can call up at some point. Do they maybe see some of the guys that got some action last year, like a Brixey maybe coming back and having some sort of success because he'd had a good, you know, minor league stint before he struggled a little bit last year. So do they feel like they can find some stuff within, whereas they can't find that first baseman within, like, at least not yet, right? That Yo-Yo's not ready to go yet if he's going to be their first baseman of the future. Brady House probably isn't ready just right away if he's going to play third base in a corner spot. So maybe they feel like they can find stuff for the pen, but they can't find that bat. And so when you get the opportunity to trade something like a reliever like Robert Garcia, who maybe had a higher potential than what I'm giving him credit for, but when you have the ability to trade him for your first baseman for the next 2 years, you do that 100 times out of 100.
Yeah, I also think it's just easier to throw money at a bullpen problem, right? You can, you know, find a guy like Derek Law who can throw 65, 70 times and be okay for you for a couple million bucks, right? Whereas, you know, even Lowe, who's probably underpaid in some way, is a $10 million guy still with 2 years of control. So I think there's something to be said for that. Looking at their bullpen right now, Brixey would almost certainly be a factor. Joe LaSorsa, who went up and down and 26 years old and has decent stuff, where they got off waivers from the Rays, would probably be in the mix. Remember, they just got Evan Reifert in the Rule 5 draft, which means, you know, you got to keep him in the big leagues. This is like a couple of years ago when they went Rule 5 and had to keep who's the reliever? Whose
name? Thaddeus Ward.
Thad Ward, right, in the bullpen. So he'll have a role. And then they've got the other guys that have been around, you know, kicking around for a while, like Orlando Ribalta and Yoan Adon. I think Jose Ferrer is probably right now the guy in the pen for me. They might have Law be the, you know, I think they're still going to add two or three veteran relievers that are going to make this bullpen. But and you could always have one or two of those guys be like non-roster invitees, frankly. But I do think like Jose Ferrer, from a stuff standpoint, is kind of back end the best that they got as of the group they have now, just because he's done it. Maybe Law would get the first crack at closing after last season. But yeah, they're not a finished product there. It's only December 22nd, and I think that's something they can kind of build as they go. But first base was the biggest issue. Now they have not really addressed power the way that I was kind of hoping they would, in that you went and got a first baseman who's got power for your organization, would have been third on your team, as you said, in home runs. But, you know, that's certainly not the 30 home run bat you're looking for. Right now, I'd like to see them go do something else at DH and still add a bat. If they wanted to go semi-cheap and bring in like Josh Bell, bring him back, something like that could make some sense to me. They do have four left-handers in their lineup right now with Abrams, Wood, Lowe, and Garcia. So maybe it's a right-handed bat that they're looking for at this point. But, I mean, Chaparro, as of now, as a DH, you could probably do worse if you're going to be cheap than that. But at this point, I would think, you know, you probably the big decision they got to make is it left field, center field, right field, like, you know, James Wood in a corner with Cruz and Jacob Young in center? Do they still envision trying to go get someone that can maybe hit for power in a corner outfield and then Evan Cruz play center? I think those are questions that still need to be answered. But it would seem to me that this feels like maybe the big move that they'll make this offseason, which is disappointing if that's the case. Not to say that I don't like the move, but this is a good baseball move that doesn't cost a ton. You know, it just seems like the payroll is going to be, in terms of actual players on your payroll that are active, you know, bottom 5 to 7 in all of baseball, which is what I've been kind of complaining about and harping on, and so many of us are frustrated by. And I think Nationals fans who aren't just, you know, clapping like seals and wearing their jerseys, they understand that that's not good enough, that they should be spending more money. And hopefully, you know, maybe there's still a big move coming down the pike. But as far as just grading this as it is and in a vacuum and not looking at anything much larger picture, I thought this was an outstanding trade.
Yeah, I agree. I don't, you know, what else are you going to get for Robert Garcia? You know, seriously, like, it's not like you're going to be able to trade him for a better player than Nathaniel Lowe. So I'm very happy with that. The only reason I'd have any drawback is it's a left-handed reliever, which the Nationals seem to never have in the pen, and one that, you know, maybe had some real potential. But at the same point, like we already discussed, you can maybe find one of those guys. Maybe you have one in the organization. Maybe you throw some money at it. And, you know, we're not talking big time money because the Learners don't spend big time money, but where you can fix that problem with just a couple million dollars. So, you know, I think that this was a very smart baseball move. And unfortunately, I think you're right, Grant, that this is probably their big move, which will be incredibly disappointing. You know, if you're talking about, which I don't know that I would be incredibly disappointed because my expectations were so low because my big wow move was going to be Christian Walker. And if we're talking about this compared to a Christian Walker, if, you know, a Christian Walker move would have been a 10, this is like a, what, an 8.5, 9. So it's not like it's a huge downgrade from not getting Walker. You did have to give up something to get this guy versus just spending a couple extra bucks to get Christian Walker. But at the same point, I don't think it's a bad move. I like it. But the only reason this move would be any point of disappointment is this is your big move. like at some point, they've got to make some real winning moves. I think this is, if they were to combine it with some other actual big moves.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Yeah, it's interesting to think about that in comparison to Walker. I mean, Walker is older by 3 years and cost more money, obviously, almost twice as much. So the value here is certainly good. I think Walker, just based on the power, though, every bit as good defensively as Lowe, in my opinion, or close to it. But both of them are plus defenders. But the, you know, you're talking about in a healthy 150 plus sample, I think Walker hits 30 home runs. And my guess is Lowe probably hits 18 or 19. And so that was kind of the hope, is you're going and getting a bopper. I mean, they really haven't had a true 30 home run bat in the corner in the infield in some time. But yeah, I think if look, realistically, they're not spending. And so this kind of a move, is more economical. And, on a scale where Walker was a 10, I guess I'd give this one a 7 maybe. But I certainly get your point.
I'll say this because I brought this analogy up the last pod we were talking about it. You know, I covered the Brewers for a little bit, a small market team, which the Nationals are not, even though they're acting one like one right now, is the allure of doing a low move versus a Walker move is there's next to no chance that by the end of his control, which is this year and next, he's going to have somehow become washed and not going to be worth the money versus there's probably a decent chance that if you signed Christian Walker to the 3-year deal, maybe even had to go to a 4th year to entice him. Cause that's one thing that you do have to consider, like, you know, a free agent, it's a 2-way street. The Nationals might want it all they want, but if the guy doesn't want to come here, which who would blame him if he doesn't, then that, you know, maybe you have to throw some more money. Maybe you have to throw in another year. And then all of a sudden you are in a 4th year of a $20 million a year contract. And you're looking at a dude that you barely want on your ball club. We've seen that before with a starting pitcher that's finally off the books. Right. So I understand where they're coming from, if that's what they're looking at. But at the same point, if you're going to operate like a big market team, like the team is, then having a 10, 15, maybe $20 million contract every now and then not be worth it, but they were really good for the first couple of years of their contract, that's just the cost of doing business at times. They're not operating like that right now, though. So if they look at it like they want to continue to operate like a small market team, you know, if the Brewers or the Rays or someone like that made this sort of move, A plus. But it's the Nationals. You can throw money at problems, which they have not done. So it's just frustrating that that's where we're at, where we have to start looking at them almost as a small market team. But that's kind of where we're at right now.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Looking at a potential lineup and how Lowe would fit in, I think you'd have Abrams possibly at the top with Wood or Cruz in some order, maybe Cruz 2, Wood 3. I like James Wood hitting as high as possible because I think he's their best offensive player, so I might even have, you know, Wood 2nd, but you probably break up the lefty. So you'd have Abrams 1, you'd have Cruz 2, Wood 3, and then you'd have Lowe bat cleanup, I would imagine, hitting 4th. You know, you might get 2 left-handed there, so you have to kind of figure that out, whether that means Chaparro hitting 5th and then Garcia 6th, something like that, and eventually K-Bert and, you know, Jose Tena or Trey Lipscomb, whoever's at 3rd, and Jacob Young down the order. But I think there's a real chance here you just signed your cleanup hitting run producer, hopefully, driving in runs, more of a walks and on base type who can, you know, hit you some doubles. But this is certainly a move I think we'll look back at this offseason and say it was a job well done by Rizzo and baseball ops.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.